As I make my journey through life and I discover, meet people and talk to them, you hear a lot of amazing stories that maybe other people don't get an opportunity to hear because they just don't get on these subjects. I always do, it seems like. And I think it's so cool because you never know what you're going to hear. And it really ties everything together as far as, well, especially with spirit. You know, I find that not too many people are going to probably talk about UFOs or Sasquatch or some of the other unknown things. But when it comes to spirit or ghosts, most people will give you some kind of impression or something. I have a story relating to a spirit contact. And most often it's going to be about a family member that passed and came back and let them know that they were okay. And sometimes it's real obvious, and other times you're kind of going, well, but I believe these people, if that's what they want to believe, good for them, that they're feeling better, that thinking maybe somebody showed up and gave them a message. And like I said, some things are real obvious. So next week, I get to interview a man. Imagine this. His son was the quarterback of the high school football team. They're out of Ishpeming, Michigan. He led them to a state championship. His son was on the team that lost by 2 points, and he felt responsible. But this child, this young man, had issues way before he played football, and it was thoughts of suicide. So after that season was over, and before the start of the next season, his son, who everybody, you know, he kept saying that he was having issues, but he was working through them, he eventually took his life. And then the team dedicated the season to them, and they went down and won the state championship. And I think they actually won it 2 years in a row. So it was remarkable, the story, because they really were against a team that was much bigger than them. What happens in high school football, I don't know if it happens around where you're at, but you have these regular schools around here in Upper Michigan, just small schools, kids going to school, they live in that area. Sometimes they might do school of choice, but it's not like recruiting. There's not recruiting. But if you get down in Lower Michigan, certain cities like Detroit and those areas, some of the bigger cities, they tend to recruit kids and have these usually like Catholic schools where they recruit all these great athletes to play for them and give them a free education, kind of like what college does. So basically, you're taking a group of kids going up against, I call them the pros. No offense to anybody that's ever gone to those schools, but they're supposed to be the better schools because they're bringing in the better athletes. So what these kids did for Ishpeming, it was amazing. The story was beyond amazing, and I'm going to talk to the coach next week on the radio. And I'm going to see if he maybe wants to come on my podcast. I don't know. I'm wondering if he had contact from his son. That's a question that's going through my mind. And I'll either ask him that on the air or off the air. But I, you know, usually I try to feel a person out for that. My podcast is one thing, but my on-air, I try to be very respectful and probably not go down that road too much, even though I'd love to. With that being said, it brings me to the subject of suicide, which is very difficult for a lot of people to talk about because they've had family members, and I guess you wouldn't know until it's happened. And you feel like this stigma that people maybe judge it negatively, or they look down on it, or they feel sorry, or whatever the case may be. And I'm going to remember some of the things that I talked about before with people on my show. We've had people talking about that. Reverend Debbie. And there also was a woman out of Ohio, I believe, that wrote a book. And it was about, a young man who was in his teens who committed suicide. And he regretted that he did it. And as his mother was going to see this psychic woman in Ohio, this young man was visiting her from the other side. And he so wanted to talk to his mother and get a message to her because she was grieving. And the psychic at first, when this spirit showed up, she's thinking, who is this guy? What does he want? And this happens. Sometimes they show up way in advance because they know how the future is working out and they want to be there to make sure they get their opportunity so they don't leave you alone. And so eventually she was able to meet the mother. She told the mother about the message the son had. Turns out the son was helping others who committed suicide, helping them cross over. At least that's what he claimed, and that's what the book was about. I thought that was pretty fascinating. And then Reverend Debbie, she's been on my show more than once. We talked about it, what happens to people. And she said that the angels will meet them and help them because they've been through a lot of, chaos, if that's the word. But they're really not in their right mind when this happens. And it's very difficult. And so they help them. They help them nurture their way back towards the light. And maybe they seclude them a little bit. I don't know if this is what happens for sure, but that's what Debbie told me. So now I want to get to a story that I heard recently. This is what this is all about. And it ties it all together. This goes back many years. I was actually, just last weekend, I was in a place called Gwinn, Michigan. And I was doing a live broadcast for the radio station. We call them a remote, which is a remote broadcast from a remote location. And I've done this place many times. We've delved into spiritual talk from time to time because you talk for a little bit, then you take a break and you talk to the owners. And, you know, I try to come up with new ideas to help promote their business. But sometimes we get on deeper conversation. I'm just like that. I do that with everybody who walks on the door. I want to hear their stories. So there's so many gems out there. If we all did that, just imagine, none of us would probably ever have fear of anything because everybody has a story to tell. So while I'm talking to Dale, who's become a good friend of mine, he starts telling me about his brother named Gary. And Gary was 7 years older than Dale. Gary was in the Vietnam War. He fought in the war, and he actually, there was a landmine that he saw someone was about to step on, and he dove to try to save that person. And in the process, it went off and filled him with shrapnel and kind of messed his body up. He saw his commanding officer lose his legs. So it put a bad spin on his life. And then, as Dale would tell the story, he said his brother Gary came back to the United States. This had to be, I would guess, in the 70s, maybe, early 70s, somewhere in there. And he was getting spit on at the airport by the hippies, you know. And I'm all in favor of people being activists and challenging the government, but you don't know the story of what people are doing. And I think that was way disrespectful for them to do that, what they did to the service men and women that came back, just merely serving their country. Some of them might have done horrible things. Some of them perhaps probably did. But that's what I disagreed with in that movement, the hippie movement. One, all the drugs which mess with your mind. Some people think that's good. I don't agree with that. If you're not in your right mind, how can you make a clear decision? And some of these hallucinogenics may take you to another place. But why do you have to take those to take you there? So I'm kind of not in favor of that. And I'm not in favor of anybody being negative towards anyone. Anyway, regardless of all that, this obviously hurt this man very much. And 2 years later, after he returned to the United States, Gary took his life. So he died. And Dale told me he remembers the day that the Marines, I think it was, showed up at his parents' door, and they told him, and his mom broke down. And then we fast forward into a couple of years down the road, a couple more years down the road, and his mom wakes up one night, and she's talking to her son, Gary, who passed away, who took his life. And he's telling her he's totally fine, and he's okay, and he's consoling her. This is what Dale's telling me. He goes, my dad is laying right next to her. He hears her talking. He doesn't know who she's talking to. He thinks she's going wacky. That's always the first response, isn't it? They're going wacky. And so he says, who are you talking to? And she goes, our son, Gary. And he goes, he's not there. And finally, after a moment, Gary allows his dad to see him. And his dad then becomes a believer. And Gary tells his father that he's okay, he's fine, don't worry about him. And as far as I know, that was the only direct contact that they had. That's truly amazing how that, some of us get that. You know, we'll get those kind of experiences. Now, I told Dale when he was telling me the story, I said, it's interesting because, you know, what I've learned a little bit about people that commit suicide is they're in a bad place, obviously, and it takes a while to clear from that. And because you have some people that'll come back right away. You've heard about these stories before, probably, where someone dies, and in that very moment of their death, they show up 1,000 miles across the country, and somebody sees them, and they know it's a sign, you know, or at the foot of a bed. I've heard many stories where they looked up, and Grandpa was at the foot of the bed, and he had just was in the process of dying, and it was just his way of saying goodbye, and because he had concern. So I'm guessing what I believe happened, because this is what I was told, it makes sense, is that we go into this cocoon if you commit suicide. They kind of protect you. So it might have taken a little while for Gary to find himself. And then once he did, he realized the pain and anguish of his parents. And he wanted to come back, and not everybody does that, but he truly wanted to come back and just let them know that he was okay. And once he did that, he was ready to move on. And this is why some will do that. And others of you will say, well, how come it doesn't happen? Well, maybe you need to be open, or maybe not every spirit's going to come back and do that. We have to honor whatever they choose to do. And some of us are hoping that they do that. I think they do. You know, I think the more we open up to it, I guess at least in my case, I've had parents that have been willing to come back and show me. I've had other beings come back and show me that they existed, so in another place. And I think, you know, maybe it's part of it. We're part of the reason that it doesn't happen. We are the ones, even though we say we want it to happen, maybe there's a part of us that's afraid. And if you have fear, then it keeps all those things from happening. That's what I've found. So I thought that was fascinating. Nobody's ever shared a story about that, about his brother coming back, not only communicating with his mother, but then allowing his dad to see it. That was really cool. I'm grateful that Gary, or that Dale shared that with me. And then I heard another story recently about, I mean, you hear so many, but there's a woman who was in and her father passed away and she would start to see these dragonflies. And she said, I thought it was my dad because it showed up at just the right moment. And there this was dragonfly showed up, and it could have been even in the time of year when you wouldn't expect one. And I said, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that it could have been, not saying 100%, but there was a good chance that it probably was your father checking in and just letting you know that everything was okay, because that's what they do. And they may show up as a bird or an animal or a butterfly or a dragonfly or a cardinal, just many different forms. You know, I think I told the story about Susan after she passed away. My friend Susan passed away over a year ago, and or maybe it's 2 years now, but I think it was on the anniversary of her death, right around the time of her death. See, that's what makes it kind of interesting. You know, I was feeling sad again, and she was like a mom to me. She lived in Wausau, Wisconsin, and I woke up one morning. I went to bed, took off my socks, laid them on the floor. I was going to get up in the morning and throw them in the clothes hamper. I got up and I couldn't find my sock. One of my socks was missing. And I asked my wife, do you know what happened to us? She goes, no. So it was kind of a mystery. I only had one sock. Well, in between that time period, we had received, sent us a check, just a little small something that she said she was going to help send us. We didn't expect anything. So it was just a small amount of money, just saying that she was thinking of us, like $100. And also, my wife saw this pheasant. Now, we see a pheasant in the yard from time to time, but this one was really unique. It was standing on our deck, not just on the deck, but on the railing. And so when she opened up the kitchen window, that's what she saw, and it kind of freaked her out. Okay, maybe that means nothing, but a friend of mine told me pheasants are connected to family. Although, if you look in the book Animals Speak, it doesn't say that, but that doesn't mean necessarily that it doesn't mean anything. The same could be said of many other critters. You know, a lot of times pigeons have shown up when a loved one was around. So, and those, they do say in that book, Animals Speak, that that is connected to family because pigeons will huddle together in the storm and families will huddle together. Anyway, so she sees this. This is just an amazing sight to see this giant pheasant just sitting there. So does it mean something? Absolutely, I think it does. So like a day or two after that, all these things happen while my sauk is gone. A day or two after that, the sauk shows up. And this time, it's right up by my pillow. This sauk that had disappeared off the floor. And I remember I told the story on the air. And people were calling up and saying, or they were messaging me, oh, well, now you probably just had it stuck to your foot and you were sweating. And I'm thinking, how does the sauk, okay, maybe it sticks to my foot, but how does it get up by my head? I am not that limber where I could take my foot and put it up by my ear and the sauk would be there. No, I'm absolutely convinced that it was placed there and it was meant to be kind of get me to laugh and maybe feel a little more lighthearted, which is what they want to do because they're totally fine. So any of you that are dealing with those kind of things, these are just some stories that I've heard recently that, and I don't get to share these all the time. And, you know, I don't like to necessarily share secondhand stories, but the story about Gary coming back to visit his parents, who I know both, I know that whole family, actually. And I didn't know Gary, but I know Dale's parents. They used to live next to my wife's parents. So it's all funny how things are connected. And I've met them many times. And to hear that kind of story is just kind of remarkable. And those of you out there that have loved ones that have passed, whether it's been by suicide or just tragedy, you know, we carry that with us, don't we? And we really don't have to. I know that's easy to say. I've been through it. We've all lost people, I think. You live long enough, you're going to lose people. And the great thing is, it teaches us to let go. And then also we can believe that they're absolutely fine. And I believe we can also believe that they will show us a sign if we ask for it. I can't tell you how many times people have told me about that. Here's another amazing story. This happened a few months ago. I don't think I've talked about this on my podcast. There's a woman, and this is again is with Dale, at one of his stores. He has a store at Sawyer. It's called Sawyer Discount Outlet. Sawyer is a small town. It used to be an air base, K.I. Sawyer Air Base. So he has this store that he runs with his son. He's also got his furniture store in Gwynn. That's the one I did a broadcast at last weekend. But the Sawyer Discount Outlet, I was there a couple months ago, probably more than a couple months ago, and there was this gal that was helping him out. His son, Ryan, was not there that day. And so she introduced herself. She was very nice. And then she started telling me some things that just kind of made me, at first she mentioned something about her son dying. And I figured, well, she's not that old. Her son couldn't have been that old. And I didn't want to, you know, you don't want to pry into it. And then she mentioned about her husband doing horrible things and killing her son. And I thought, wow. So I started asking her. I figured, well, if she's talking about it, I'm going to try to ask her. I'll be totally respectful. But maybe she wants to talk about it. And she did. I said, well, how do you feel about that happening? She goes, right now I'm numb. I don't know what to feel. My son is gone. My husband's in jail. I hope he gets, you know, in jail for a long time for what he did. He had a horrible temper. He used to abuse us. And you think, wow. Imagine if you had to live through that. Or if you knew somebody that, or a family member that lived through that. I'm sure a lot of people go through that. I said, do you think your son is around? Because I'm always asking. And she said, you know, we bought this Christmas ornament. It was more than an ornament. It was some kind of like picture. And the husband had actually hooked up where lights and poked little holes in it and you could see like lights all around it. It made it stand out and look pretty cool. So she said, these lights, you know, we turn them off and on. And you had to turn them on physically. There was a little switch. And my son used to love that. He used to love, and son was only like 2 years old. He used to love that. And one day after he passed, I came home and the lights were turned on. She said it happened more than once. And there's no way those lights get on unless you physically turn the switch on. And I asked her, do you think that's a sign from him? And she goes, I believe he is. And I asked her if she believed in God. And she said, I don't know how I could believe in God, because why would God do this? And you know, what do you say to something like that? And I just said, well, maybe it's not what we think it is. Maybe God leaves us in charge. And we are the ones that choose what happens, because maybe there's great lessons to be learned. What's really weird about this whole thing, it's not weird to me, but shortly after she tells me this stuff, these two guys come in, and I've been doing live broadcasts at special locations for over 30 years. This has never happened. These two guys come in, and they tell me they're kind of on a spiritual retreat, a religious retreat, and they're getting buying some furniture for their cabin. And then at the very end, the one man decides he's going to bless all of us and say a prayer. And he does. And it's really nice. And then he leaves. And he goes to another place, and apparently he did the same thing. And people liked it. And that's when I asked her, do you believe in God? And she goes, I don't really believe in a God that would do something like that. And after the next time I saw Dale, I said, don't you think that was really unusual that this poor woman who's been through all of this, these men show up and they offer a blessing? And for me, and it's up to each of us how we want to draw from this, maybe you believe in God, maybe you've got a Christian background, whatever the case may be. Mine is not Christian, it's more metaphysical. But mine was, my take on it was, you have a person who's lost faith, that there's a being that created all of us. And these men were there to restore that a little bit. Not necessarily make you join a religion or believe what they believe, because let's face it, every religion out there has a different, even if they're Christians, they all kind of have their own different slice of the way of looking at it. And I think, you know, I was thinking about this, what's the difference between me and what religion? Because I like a lot of what it says, I really do, but there's things I don't like. And I think the separation is what I don't like, making it seem like God is unattainable unless you do certain things and believe certain things. And I believe we are an extension of God, so therefore God is within us. And the reason we need to believe in that is because we create our reality by believing. Not just our reality here, but our reality in the next place. So this is why Jesus was telling us this, and others have told us that we need to believe. Not because God wants us to in order... I was having this conversation with somebody. Why would he or she need us to worship him or her? Because I know I don't need it. I don't need my son to worship me. And I don't need, and I wouldn't expect anybody, you know? So I just think we all are born out of this love, and we all are little pieces of energy, little pieces of God that have been given this freedom to go in the universe and to explore and to evolve and continue new adventures. So this is why we're here, and we've kind of become a bit lost on the way. I could be totally wrong on all of that, but that's my take on it. And that explains why people, to me, maybe commit suicide. It's part of a choice. Maybe they made that choice before they came here. And that's hard for people to understand. There was a seance, if you want to call it a seance, I went to, one of the first ones I went to. This is probably, over 10 years ago. And I remember the woman that was talking, she was channeling some spirit, and the spirit was speaking through her. It seemed like a very gentle spirit, a female spirit. And these people were standing around, they were sitting around, two people, and they were asking this channeled being about their uncle, and the uncle was speaking through her. And they said, "How could you be so selfish to take your life? Do you know all the pain you caused us? Why would you do this?" And the uncle, if that was him speaking, said, "Did good things not come from this? Did all of you not come together? Did all of you not forget and put aside your differences? That was my intention." And they couldn't get that. They were still so angry with him for doing that. And I look at it as, he's gone. He's gone. Being angry does no good. I understand. You go through all these emotions and maybe it's hard to let go. So I'm not blaming anybody. But my perspective on it is, I agree with what the uncle, if that indeed was him. Sometimes we beings choose to do things that we can't understand in our physical body, but they choose them out of love. If we are beings of love, and that's what we really are, then we're willing to do things that brings more love to the world. Not everybody. Some of us are not here for that. Some of us are, everybody's got a different journey, but some of us are willing to sacrifice. And this is why we see some of those things go on, I think, in our world. That people are willing to do that because they believe it'll bring more love and light to the planet. And we're witnessing that happening more. And there are those that they keep telling me are checking out because they just can't handle all of the energies. It's very difficult to deal in this time because the earth is changing its vibrations. We are. Our bodies are physically changing. And so because of this, it's very difficult for people to want to stay in their bodies. And they want to go back to what they know is good, a good place that they came from. So that's part of it as well. It's not an easy time to be alive, especially now. But there are many rewarding things that come out of it. You know, there was a friend of mine who sent me an email, and he said he's in such a rage right now. And his dad's worried about him because he thought, "You're going to hurt someone," because he feels like women have kind of given him the short end of the stick. He doesn't think anybody his age is trustworthy. And my response basically was, there are trustworthy people of all ages, and there are people that are immature and out for themselves amongst all ages. It's not just the generation, whatever generation you want to call it, millennials, Gen Zs, whatever. It's not just that. We put a label on people, and it's so easy to do that. When I've met so many good people that belong to all different classifications, whether they're millennials or Gen X or whatever. I don't even know what half of them are, and I don't care because I don't want to be labeled, because then you become it. When you label yourself with something, you become it. So I choose not to do that. The other day, somebody was saying to me, "Oh, well, you know, we're old now," and I refused to say anything. I wasn't angry, I just didn't say anything. And she was probably wondering why I didn't say anything, because I'm not going to use those words, because then it just speeds things up. So when we label ourselves this or that, we become it. There's a friend of mine who heals people. He won't even use the name of certain diseases because he doesn't want to give it power. I agree with that. Our words and our thoughts are very powerful, and they create many things. Getting back to what I was talking about with the suicide and, you know, the people that I've experienced that have told me their stories, and that channeling session with the uncle that came through, those people were pretty upset, you know. I don't know if they ever found peace, but that's their journey to, you know, it's part of like when we learn unconditional love, then we don't put expectations on other people. Isn't that what we're here to learn? So when we say, "Well, you did this," well, that's because you expected me to behave a certain way. If I truly am a free being, then I can basically do whatever I want as long as I'm not hurting someone else. "Well, you hurt me by doing that." Well, that's your choice to be hurt. I know that sounds a little harsh, but it's your choice to react the way you want to react. So I got to go through my whole life never offending anybody or saying anything because it... living the way I want to live because I potentially could offend someone? when I'm doing nothing to try to offend them. I would never do anything deliberately, but if by living my life a certain way, I know there are cultures where if a man doesn't do certain things, or a woman, then nobody wants to, they're not seen as a person that they want to be with, that another person wants to be with, because you're not like the men of this country that do this, or the women. And I think that's just an archaic way of thinking. If you're a loving being, and you want to have love, maybe you want to share love with someone else, you can. It's not always going to be easy, because that's, we have to accept people as individual. We have to accept them that someday they may just walk away from you. We want to put a lasso around them and control them for the rest of their life. You're mine. It's like, ultimately, no, they're not. Nobody is. And that's a hard concept, I think, for a lot of people. I just thought I'd share some stories this week about, I just thought it was remarkable, the stories that I heard. If you have stories you want to share, and you maybe you don't want to come on and share them with me directly, well, then you can do it indirectly. You can drop me an email, tj@up.net. I'd be glad to read an anonymous story. Maybe your story can lift people up. Do you have any stories of spirit? Well, I think I did. When you think you did, you probably did. I used to be that way too. Well, I'm not sure. And then it's like, now, and thank goodness I have friends that are psychic. They can tell me, yep. Or they'll say, no, that really was nothing. You're just imagining. But, or other times they say, yeah, you had somebody that was there with you and they were sending you a message. And there's so much love out there. It's just amazing. There's so much love. We're being so supported. And I think if we can lift people up by that, then I'm all in favor of it. I'm totally in favor of it. Anyway, that's all I have. Down the road, I expect Joy is going to be coming on with me pretty soon. We're going to do a show. There's a woman with an amazing machine that, you know, and I've heard about this before from more than one person, that they have these machines that somehow can regulate your energy to help you heal faster. And so Joy was involved in an experience with this machine, and it really helped her, and she wants to bring the person on for an interview. And I say, yeah, let's do it. And I have some other people as well that I'm going to be talking to. So soon I will have more guests, and it won't just be me blabbing. But it's hard to get it lined up, you know. There's just some days I don't have a whole lot of time to do it. But I appreciate you listening. And if you have any comments or anything you want to tell me or anything you want to say, or if you'd like to share something, and it can be anonymous, I'll totally respect that. I'd love to hear about it, because if we pass the word on, it just lifts others. I think it does. And I think we're kind of, many of us are here to do that. I wish you the best. Love and joy.